If you have your Bibles open this morning, we're going to begin in a few minutes in Ephesians 2. Actually, keep Ephesians 2 marked. I'm going to begin in Genesis 2. If you would turn there. Genesis chapter 2. This morning I titled the lesson, Competing Goals, and you'll see why. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning down in verse 16 and 17, God speaking with Adam says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will die.'" We have creation. From the very beginning that God created everything in this world and He prepared it for man. And here's Adam. Eve hadn't been made yet. The relationship that was there, what do you think it was? How do you think it was? What would it be like to be in God's creation never tarnished by evil? What would it be like to have God, the Creator, your Father, walking and talking with you? What would that have been like? And you look at these kind of things, and all God tells man is one thing. There's a tree in the middle of the garden. It's a tree called the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it, or you'll surely die. That's it. Nothing else expected. One thing. And God walks and God talks. And He just gives the warning that if you do that, you surely will die. Count on it. Then He creates Eve. In this place, and I don't know what Eden looked like, but it had to be grander. Of no creepy crawlies, I don't know. I mean, man didn't have to deal with the thorns and thistles. And they walked with their God. Oh, Satan enters the picture. Satan enters the picture, and as he enters the picture, he asks Eve to recount God's word. Do it for me. Did God say this? And if you look at chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" She knows it. Adam passed it along. They knew it. Walking and talking with God. And then the devil. There's a point to all of this. Even though we've read it many a times and we've been over it. Verse 4, "The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die.'" Surely you will not die. Now I want to give you a thought here. And I want to give you a thought about Satan. And when you read a statement like that, what he tells Eve, let me tell you what Satan knows about God. And don't anyone think Satan doesn't know. God is truthful and trustworthy and faithful. And he knows it. And he knows it well. And when you go and you start reading about Jesus walking on the face of this earth, and when demons from that spiritual world would speak to Jesus, what did they know about Jesus? "We know who you are, Holy One of God." The demons knew. Satan knows God is a God of His Word. The thing is, Satan doesn't care. Satan has no respect for that. And so, you know what the first thing that the devil would want, Satan would want from God's creation, from God's people? Don't take God at His Word. That's the first thing he wants. I want you to discount the Word of God. And if he can get you to discount the Word of God, he's got you walking away. Well, that happens. Well, if you'll come on down to verse 5. Satan continues to explain. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God knows. He's speaking for God. But the thing is here, when he speaks for God, what he wants to do, he's trying to get Eve not to think in terms of God's will. Let's don't think in terms of God's Word. No, we gotta get you to think another way. There's gotta be something else to it. And so, if you can take out faithfulness of God, if you can take away from people that God cannot be trusted, then you can also take with that, don't worry about punishment. There is no condemnation. So, Satan has a two-sided goal here. Let's take away the Word of God. He's not faithful. He doesn't mean what he says. And then secondly, you don't have to fear the consequences, because the consequences aren't anything like you think it's going to be. Well, we know the rest of the story. And we know what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, Jesus teaches His own disciples. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are going to find it. You know what Jesus knows? Not many is going to make it. Not many are going to make it. Because there's not very many people interested in following God at His Word. Oh, they have all sorts of motives. Oh, devil makes it all confusing. And when you get to the end, there's going to be the devil and his angels. And the horde of people who have bought into his lies. That's what's going to be in the end. There's going to be all of those people that do not believe that God means what He says, and the devil suckers all those people in. And he wants to get them to believe that there is no faithfulness of God. Ignore His Word. And how many people ignore this? And sometimes it's in the church. And Adam and Eve now know. Adam and Eve believe. They believe God won't keep His Word. And we know what happens after this. And when they didn't believe that God would keep His Word, and there would be consequences of that, there became this gap. And in the process of that gap, look down with me at verse 22 of chapter 3. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Oh. God's concerned about this thing called tree of life. And He's concerned about man who did not take Him at His Word, but listened to the lies and go another direction. And now God is concerned that man may take out his hand and he's going to reach up and grab that tree of life, the fruit thereof, and he's going to eat it and live forever. And you know, when you look for this, you got to understand, the moment that sin comes in, the moment that you stop eating the Word of God, that there are consequences to that, and you lose your rights to God, much less His promises. And they lost their right. And so we find down in verse 24, so he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. God drove them out. God is faithful. If you eat from it, or as Eve said, even if you touch it, you will surely die. And that day, Adam and Eve were separated from their God that they walked with. There's consequences. And that's what the devil is trying to get people to believe, that God doesn't mean what he says. And let me share this with you. Every single human that ignores the Word of God, their life gets worse. And as we grow up from childhood to the teen years to adulthood, you show me every man and woman that ignores the Word of God and their life does not improve, because God means what He says. And people are buying into it that you can ignore God and His Word and think you're going to come out better. And they can't figure it out. And this is the competing goal of the devil. And this is what he's doing to people all the time. And billions of people are buying into it. And if we went back in history, trillions, bazillions, I don't know how many, I can't even think that high. But I want to tell you, people buy into it all the time. And then we come over if you would to Ephesians 2. You see, the way to the tree of life now is guarded by the cherubim and the flaming sword that turns every direction. God has the way back protected. And it's not given except through one means. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul begins to recount to the church what their past was like. Look at verse 1. He said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Satan's goal has not changed. It hasn't changed from the very beginning. Satan's goal is to get you separated from God, is to get you to ignore the Word of God, and this is how he does it. Look carefully with me at verse 3. Paul writes, "Among them," talking about those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, "among them we too all formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Satan wants you to follow your desires. That's the goal. He did it to Eve. When he told him this, when he told Eve this is the way it is, she looked and she saw the fruit was desirable to make you wise. It was good for food. And she wanted it. And when Satan gets people to separate from God, what he does, he wants them to live in their fleshly desires. These lusts that they have. And he says, indulging in the desire of the flesh and of the mind. He wants you to follow your desires of what you think about, what you want. You gotta have this. You gotta have it now. You gotta do it this way. You gotta do it that way. That's how He's working. That's how He's competing against God. And you and I know well, when you don't get what you want, tell me how angry it makes you. You make a plan and you want this plan to work out and it doesn't work out. And boy, we get angry. Yes, He says, and we're by nature children of wrath. The more you want, the more you desire, the easier it becomes to forget what is right and wrong in the eyes of the Lord, and you do what you want to do. That's the problem. That's how He gets people. And when people can't control a situation, oh, they get angry, wrathful. Oh, Satan's accomplishing his goal. And when you look at that, knowing that's how He operates, look quickly at verse 2 with me. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You walked according to the course of this world. You know what this world is like? It's like a real slow-moving train. And as time goes, more people are getting on it. And it's moving further away from God. Ignoring God and His Word. And He says, you know what? When people are dead, they're separated from God. You know what the last thing they want? They don't care about the Word of God anymore. They don't care about the will of God anymore. All they want to do is do what they want to do, and now the world sets its course. And people by the droves are jumping on the train, and they're going with it. And sometimes it's people that are in Christ Jesus. And Paul is having to remind them, do you remember when you were dead in your trespasses and sins? You walked according to the course of this world. Oh, Satan had you going and living in your flesh and your mind and wanting to do everything that you want to do. And when you don't get it, you get mad and angry. And that's the course of this world. And why is our world such an angry world? It's hateful. Why? Well, devil's got a goal. He says in verse 2, you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. There is a spiritual world behind the scene that you and I can't see with our naked eyes. And there is a spirit. And it's not the Spirit of God. It is a spirit that is working in those that are disobedient to God. And He's taken them captive. And there's a power that's involved. And it's this power that involves the spirit of the air. And He's at work and He's behind the scenes. And the moment that you disobey God in anything, you know what? You become a son of disobedience. Just like Adam and Eve became. Oh. And now you begin to walk according to the course of the world. And here's the proof. This is the tough one. Parents, how many of our children are uninterested? I don't want to be at church. Where do you want to be? I want to be according to the course of the world. When our children are uninterested, you know what's happened to them? They're on the train. And parents and adults, don't have any interest either. And I don't want to go to the assembly and worship God. I want to be on the course of the world. And I want to follow that too. And they get on that train, and people just lose interest. They want to be with the world because the spirit of disobedience is working in the world. It set a course on those people in the world, and people that are dead and separated from God are right along for the ride. And every time the world speaks and says, this is what it is, this is how it is, people, yes, it's got to be that way. God's Word says, no, this is the way it is. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. There are competing goals. And you and I need to see what is happening behind the scenes. And we give up. We give up our lives to walk according to the course of the world. And people of God are more interested in what Dr. So-and-so says about life than what the Word of God says about life. A lot of times people are more interested in people that have all these different letters before their name and after their... They've got to be experts. They know. And you know what? That's exactly what Satan wants to get you to believe. Well, you know, Adam and Eve wouldn't have been there if they didn't have low self-esteem. They had such low self-esteem that they went and bit into the, you know, and everything. Oh yeah, that's what Satan wants to get you to believe. That's your self-esteem problem. Come on board. You surely won't die walking with me. That's the lies. And people are driven away from the presence of God. They get no input. They have no understanding. Because all they want is what their minds think of the way it is. And they want to be a part of that. And when they can't get what they want, they get angry. That's the devil's goal. And where does it leave us? Well, let me show you the competing goal of God real quick. Look at verse 4. Verses 4 through 10, this is God's goals. Okay? Look at verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loves us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You know what? God came in to override the destructive goal of the devil. How in the world are you going to ever get back to Adam and Eve to come back into fellowship with God? He drove them out of His presence. He protected the way to the tree of life through an angels, through cherubim, and through a flaming sword. How are you going to reconcile that? It's going to only take one thing. Would God be rich in mercy to me? Because I have jumped on that train and I'm walking with the world. I was part of the spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience because I am a son of disobedience. And God knows it. And so He says, God's rich in mercy. His great love with which He loved us. We don't understand much about the love of God. Oh, we can talk about it. But I'm telling you, brethren, if we really could grasp the love of God, no one would ever want to leave. No one would put the Word of God on the back burner. Because of His great love, He said, in His rich mercy, even when we were dead in our transgressions and made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved. And I want you to see three words in verse 5. Have been saved. That's a perfect tense. Now that doesn't mean much to you, but I'm going to tell you why it's important. The perfect tense means it's something that happened in your past. and it continues with present results. Here I've come from a child of disobedience because of God's mercy. Here I've become a child of God because of the great love that which He loved us with. And here I am with God that I was dead in my transgressions. I was dead. I was a servant to the devil, to Satan. And yet, what did He do? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. There was a time back here that you came to Jesus. Now, I'm going to throw this at you because sometimes when people visit, they claim that all you do is talk about baptism. And it's not talking about baptism. I tell you what, you go back and read Acts 19. And when Paul came to Ephesus, you know what the first thing he did? He baptized 12 men into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Go back and read it. And now he's talking to the church at Ephesus out of the teachings of Paul. And he says, you have been saved. Something back here, and it still has present results. And when you get looking at it, man's thrown out of the garden. And it's going to be an act of the grace of God, His unmerited favor, and the love of God, and the mercy of God is the only way you're going to get back into this relationship. It's the only way. And he said, guess what? Even when you were dead, God made you alive. He made you alive together with Christ. When you and Christ entered one another, when those 12 men at Ephesus were baptized in the name of Jesus, they were adhering to Jesus, and Jesus was making sure their sins were forgiven. You have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's reality. If you've been one with Jesus, you've been raised with Jesus. And by the mercy and grace of God and His love, now you've been seated with Jesus. That's reality right now. And as I look here among us and the number of people that we have, you need to believe you've been seated with Jesus. The only thing keeping you from seeing Him is this body. But the reality is you've been seated. This is the goal of God. And this is what He's doing. You know, you didn't make yourself alive, brethren. You didn't raise yourself. You surely didn't seat yourself. It was all by the act of a merciful, gracious God. You didn't do anything except trusting, it happened. And he goes on to say in verse 7, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know what God's plan was, if you look at that carefully? God's plan was in the ages to come. From the day this was recorded, from the day that the death of Jesus happened and everything came forward, you know what God's plan was? To show the surpassing riches, He says, of His grace and kindness toward those in Christ Jesus. The eternal plan of God is to show kindness toward those in Christ Jesus. Anyone separated from God, anyone outside of Christ, the kindness of God will not be lavished on them because they're on a different train. They're going a different direction. Their mindset is on different things. And He says here, I want to show the surpassing riches of My grace in kindness to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the eternal plan of God. That's his goal. In verse 8, he continues, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Salvation is of God. Salvation is by God. Salvation is with God. And salvation is never earned. You didn't do anything for it. What you did is come from a conviction from the preaching of God's Word. You believed in that and you drew a conclusion, I need that. And by putting your faith in it, it was God who brought you to life. It was God who raised you. It was God who seated you with Christ. And it is all His gift. Wow. Wow. And nobody here is going to stick out their chest and say, look at me. I did it. No, there's no boasting. It's all from God and by God. You know at best, and just side note real quick before we conclude, Romans 3:10. There is none righteous. Not even one. One time, one point in your life, we were all separated and driven out of the presence of God. And your life took on bad things. And your mind and your thoughts were set on what you wanted. And oh, devil, smiling the whole way. You took the bait because God said, you sin, you die, and you say, oh, not for me. I'm a good person. I'm a person, you know, I've stayed faithful to my wife. I stayed faithful at work. Oh, I do a lot of charity things, and I do this. And God said, it has nothing to do with one gift. My gift. It costs God to get us back. It is the gift of God and no one can boast. It's a gift that you and I ought to be falling down on our faces before God and telling Him thank you. Because if it wasn't for your mercy, if it wasn't for your grace, we couldn't be here. Nobody's getting close. And the devil says, oh, that's not true. Do it yourself. And people are constantly trying to do it themselves. And God said, that's the way of the world. That's why nobody's worried about condemnation. Nobody's worried about punishment anymore. I mean, we could do evil and there's no punishment in it. I mean, we're in a day and a time. You just kill somebody and you're probably going to get off with something really light. Like, there's no punishment. There's no fear of anything. And there's sure no fear of God in His Word. That God means what He says and He's going to do exactly what He says. And the day you sin, you will die. Assuredly, you count on it. And to think that you and I can habitually go over here and ignore the Word of God and think we can do whatever we want to do because the grace of God's going to cover you, there's another lie the devil has sold to us. You cannot ignore the Word of God and end up saved in the end. The devil's got his competing goal and God's got a completely different goal. But God's goal is for eternally with Him. The devil's goal is for you to get on the course of the world and come along for the ride. And by the way, you want that, don't you? Go get it. Nothing's stopping you. Separation. But because of the mercy and grace of God, here's where He brings us. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Huh. We were of the workmanship of the devil. Now because He raised us, He seated us, you know, He made us alive, now you're His workmanship. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's where good works come from. Good works never come to be saved. Good works are the result of being saved. Because we've been created in Christ for that. Before we were not His workmanship, and our creation and our mind was always about us, and we will hurt anybody we have to or walk over the top of anybody to get what we want. And He said, oh no, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This is where salvation leads you. It's so if you and I are saved, we need to be concerned about that. If the Word of God is not your love and concern, if you don't believe God's Word means what it says, you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to die eternally. And that's not what God chooses. That's what the devil chooses. And so I want you to see these two competitions going on, except God simply offers. The devil gets us and stirs our desires so you won't back off. That's what He works on. God's trying to get us to focus on the eternal things. The devil, I want you to focus on the world things. God's trying to lift our minds and our hearts to see Him and the love and His grace. The devil, he's trying to say, stay concerned about now. Focus on championships. Focus on outings. Focus on all, And the rest, the result is what we do. One we do by faith. One we do by desires. Our lusts. And they're opposites. Brethren, I try to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Please stay on track. Please let the Word of God mean something. These words are true and right. And we need to focus more on the Word of God and nothing else.